Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the Day of Judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise. We are still exploring the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe, to understand part of it, there is no way we can understand all of it. We cannot contain His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala in our little brains that He has subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. The human brain is so limited that the human brain itself cannot understand how itself can work. A brain that can't understand how it works, how could that same brain understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there is a saying that says that if the human brain is so simple that the human brain can understand how it works, then it will not be able to understand how it works. In other words, they are trying to say that if the human brain can works in a very simple way that can be understood by the same brain, okay, then the same brain, because it works in such a, it is so simple to understand, will not be able to understand how it works. You know, so it's a spiral down. You simplify the brain, then it you and so forth. Go ahead.
The more you know, the more you don't know.
The more you know, the more you don't know. Yes, brother.
I'm just using expression. Catching 22.
Oh, what is catch 22?
You never catch 22.
Oh, you never catch 22. Yeah. So the bottom line here is that trying to understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in itself get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way of getting closer to Allah. And the process of discovering, that process of discovery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow this process because it is a way of worship. It is a way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even so, in the creation of heavens and earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that I have not made them witness or see the creation of heavens and earth and the creation of them of themselves. And then he says in another surah, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ, that walk on the earth, investigate and explore to discover how the creation got started. He could have told us the creation started this way and that way to remove the puzzle and to remove the wonders about it. But he didn't. And he said, go find out. An example of that is also the Egyptians who built the pyramids. They built the pyramids, okay, and they put the rocks together in a mysterious way. And then they destroyed all the documentation that shows how these pyramids were built at that time. And they have oriented the pyramids in such a way that the corners point to the true north, the true astronomical north, not the one you get with the cameras, the true real one, and south and east and west. And when they studied the error and the placement and the construction of the pyramids against these directions, they found the error to be 0.000 something, you know, very small, almost close to zero. And they were wondering, how could they, at that time, 4,000 years ago, do it? And some of them said, oh, aliens came and did it, and all of these theories that came up with trying to understand, explain using the laws of nature, how did they place the pyramids? Now, the Egyptians intentionally destroyed these documentations. Why? Why didn't they leave it? Because if they left it, people will find out, and it will not be a wonder anymore. But they left it a secret so that people will keep wondering, oh, how did they do it? How did they do it? And come up with all these kind of theories and put, you know, in the process of discovering this, it becomes a wonder, it becomes a secret. And it's more exciting and it gets people more involved and it gets people more closer to the Pharaoh culture. So you can see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in saying ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض, I didn't make them witness the creations of heavens and earth. So in that process of discovery, this is what we're doing right now. We are going through the process of discovering the wisdom of Allah, and it's a way to worship Allah. It is the way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We finished the most important wisdom that affects our life, which is why people are rich and poor, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides about that to the best of our ability. Now, the second one we're talking about is the issue of halal and haram. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the one we're talking about right now, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts halal and haram. And the rule that what we have covered so far, number one, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make something good haram on us, unlike the previous nations. Whatever is haram is the bad stuff. Whatever is halal is the good stuff. This is number one. Number two, that there are laws of nature enforced by Allah nobody can break. And there are laws of Islam enforced by us, we can break it. If we choose, and we give the example of this stupid king that he was debating with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam about the, he thought that he can bring the life and death the same way Allah brings life and death. So Prophet Ibrahim immediately challenged him using a law of nature, which is the sun rising from the east. Instead, he said, Allah brings the sun from the east. Why don't you bring it from the west? And the reason he picked one of the laws of nature, because he knows and everybody knows that these laws of nature cannot be broken by anybody. So, and it's very clear, you cannot fake it. Like he got a guy and he spared him, and he got another guy and killed him, and he said, I gave life and death. So he said, fine. Okay, this is very clear. Allah brings the sun from the east. Bring it from the west. So he, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Huh? He didn't know what to do. So, and he didn't know what to say. And there was no trick that can be used to trick people into believing into this thing. So the laws of nature, that was the second point, that the laws of nature is enforced by Allah, nobody can change them, including our human existence, including the way our body functions, including the way we develop in our mother's womb, including the way we get bored, including the way we age and we get sick. These are all laws of nature. You and me can't change them. You can't change even the laws of nature that are happening to our own existence, our own body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it possible for anybody to change that. You might say, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible? It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to provide a minimum, or not a minimum level, a reasonable level of security to the universe. Just imagine that we have control over the sun. And then the sun is subject to our desires. And then we're so greedy. Say, well, we don't have enough sun. We keep all the sun for ourselves, and this is the best place for the sun to be, and forget about the rest of the world. We keep all the air for ourselves. We keep our water for ourselves. If we reach to the level of controlling these laws of nature, then the earth would be ruined. So to provide a reasonable level of protection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enforcing them himself. And enforcing the laws of nature by Allah falls also under the name Al-Jabbar, the most compelling, the one who compels, because he is Jabbar. He compels your body to age. Can you stop yourself from aging? Good luck. He compels you to be developed in a certain way. He compels your physical existence, which is your body, is to erode and deteriorate. He does a lot of compelling, Al-Jabbar, and nobody can alter. Nobody can change that except him. If he decides to show a miracle, then he changes his own laws to make people understand that I am in control of these laws of nature. The laws of nature don't control me. So many times in the Quran he have said, I am the one who controls them. They are not controlling me. Read Surah Maryam. It was mentioned twice. When Prophet Zechariah, Allah gave him the news. He said, news? This is totally against the news of a new baby. News of a new baby, this is totally against the laws of nature. أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. You know, how could I have a boy, and me and my wife are very, very old, and she can't bear children when she was young, not to mention now she is old, old woman. How could she? The answer came from Allah. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا. He said, this is my word. It's easy for me, and I've created you from nothing. You were nothing, and I've created you. Why do you say that creating you from nothing is any less miracle than giving you a newborn baby from also nothing, because you and your wife are old and she can't bear children? Same thing with the same surah with Maryam alayhi salam. أَنَّ يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ يَمَسَّسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. How can I have a boy and I know I wasn't touched by a man, and I'm not one of those kind of ladies? So قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. The same thing. Allah has said so. He has decided so, and it is easy for him. He controls the laws of nature. They don't control him. So basically, the second point was, these are the laws of nature, these are the laws of Islam. Allah designed the laws of nature to fit perfectly in a very harmonious way with the laws of Islam. So if we choose to follow the laws of Islam in the part of our life that are subject to our free will, then we would have a very peaceful life, because they both fit together in a very perfect way. But if we break them, then we will conflict with the laws of nature. We will bump head with the laws of nature. We will have a lot of problems. And we try to fix it. It's not fixable problems, because we are fighting with these laws of nature. And we gave two examples. The first one, no justice, no peace. And then the second example was about drinking alcohol, that it is eroding our physical body. It harms our physical body, because our physical body is controlled by the laws of nature. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the laws of nature, then we suffer the consequences and we suffer the damages. Now we're continuing the wisdom of Allah of halal and haram. Why does He make do's and don'ts? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew what is right for us and what is wrong for us. And one of the things that Allah is accused with, and people, we hear that from people, and especially in the United States, about these laws of do's and don'ts. They say, well, Islam came 1400 years ago, right? Right. Well, how could your God put laws 1400 years ago and expect them to be applied today? Right? Do you agree with me that the life on earth changes and develops with time? Yes, we agree. Then how do you expect these laws 1400 years ago to be applied today? And that is the one we want to clear today. First of all, there is the answer to that is that there are aspects of the human life that are not changing with time and place. There are things that change with time and place, but there are things that don't change with time and place. There is a common denominator between us as humans that don't change with time and place. A human who lived 100,000 years ago have the same common denominator with a human who is living today. What is that? There always has to be a man and a woman. Okay. How could they are living together? What kind of relationship should they have? Okay. Here's the first law comes in to regulate the relationship between that man and woman living together. They are living in a place, tent, cave, house, and they have somebody else living with them, okay, or living right next to them, a neighbor. Okay, where do your freedom ends? When your freedom for your neighbor starts. So who sets up these boundaries? Here's another law that has to come in. And then they live, all these neighbors live together to form a community. And then they want to trade and do business, so they have a market. Right? So they go trade in the market. I mean, it's normal. And then when they have a market and they trade in the community, then there has to be a government to regulate the life. There has to be somebody is stronger than somebody else. Somebody makes laws written or unwritten or unwritten. But there has to be laws to regulate the relationship and the rights and responsibilities. Can I come into your house and kick you out and take your house? Well, no. A lot of bad people love to do that, but it is not permissible. Why? I mean, how can you enforce that? If I'm strong, I mean, There are lots of things that show, lots of issues that show up when humans live together that requires a government. Now, when there's a government, now how do we choose the president? Alhamdulillah, we are doing elections, but how do we choose the president? And, you know, politics comes in, and, you know, and a lot of human aspects, they will show up. Name one country in this world that doesn't have a law. There is no country on the face of the earth that doesn't have a law. We have two kinds of laws. We don't have third. The first choice are laws made by Allah. What's the second choice? The only second choice, laws made by humans. So either by Allah or by humans. Okay. So by accepting, by rejecting the laws of Allah, you are automatically going to accept the laws of the human. Which ones work better? Which ones work best? Now, this constant part of this human life requires laws that will not change with time and place. Relationship between females, males and females. I mean, adultery is prohibited 100,000 years ago, is prohibited today, will be prohibited in the future. You know, injustice, the moral laws. And that's the most constant law in Islam that does not never change it with time and place are the moral laws. What is good and what's bad? What is moral and what is immoral? Lying will always be bad. Cheating will always be bad. Even people, if they try to change that, but it is always the case with time and place, regardless of time and place. So this is when Islam comes in. Now, within these boundaries, there is something called freedom of righteousness. Freedom of righteousness is your freedom within the boundaries of Islam to choose what is wise and what is not wise. To choose between what is halal and what is makruh. Halal and makruh. Makruh is halal, but it's a bad halal. Unwise halal. And there is you know the four categories in Sharia. Haram, makruh, halal, and then sunnah, and then fard. The five levels. The makruh, do I choose the makruh or I choose the halal? Which one is more wise? Freedom of righteousness. If somebody asks you, what is Islamic economy? Islamic economy is a very good example of this. That the Islamic economy is any form of economy governed by the moral laws. Riba, usury, is haram. Cheating is haram. Monopoly is haram. If you stay away from this, any form of business is okay. Do freedom of righteousness. Pick the best way of business in this that fits your time and fits your need. So there is freedom. Yes, there's freedom of righteousness. It's not a law like choking you like this. You can't choose. There is a freedom of righteousness. Another example is the Islamic politics. What is the Islamic politics? It has a very broad definition. Within this definition, choose any form you like. The Islamic politics is the politics which is made, which is based on moral code. So you make the decision based on moral values, not based on strategic interests. There are two ways to make decisions, either based on strategic interests or based on materialistic benefits or based on moral values. And you get to choose which one of the two. Islamic politics are the politics which are based on moral values, not based on materialistic benefits. And I'll give you one clear example and stop. Lake Tahoe. Have we been to Lake Tahoe before? Yes. What happens to Lake Tahoe? Half of the Lake Tahoe is in California, and the other half is where? In Nevada. Okay. Nevada law, Nevada economy is based on what? Entertainment industry. So prostitution and gambling are halal. And California law, lawful. Well, the technical term for lawful is halal. You know, halal in the terms of the man-made law. That substitutes the law of God. Okay, so it is halal. Now, in the state of California, prostitution and gambling are haram or unlawful or illegal. Why? Because it's based on a different kind of industry, agriculture, manufacturing. So there's one street, I forgot the name of that street, that divides Lake Tahoe into two parts, Lake Tahoe, California and Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Two hotels across the street from each other.
State line.
Two hotels on the front, one hotel this way, the other hotel is that way. Between them is nothing. Okay? One hotel, prostitution and gambling is halal or legal. The other hotel, prostitution and gambling is illegal. Right there. Now the question is, how could this make sense to anybody? How could it make sense that the same exact thing, you just one foot this way and it becomes completely fine, one foot the other way, it becomes no. So that shows that the one in control is are the materialistic values, economy, capitalism. It is, this is the one that controls even the moral values. It controls what is moral and what is right and what's wrong, what is permissible and what is not permissible. And this is exactly clearly out shows the difference between the laws of Islam, which are the laws of God, and the laws of the humans. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.